The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett this morning for Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews is traveling and will be coming into the show via phone with us. What a day. Boy, there was some. It was exciting the whole weekend. I was standing on my head watching the Open Championship and then watching the Barbasol in the playoff with Aaron Baddeley coming back and winning in great fashion with a birdie on the first playoff hole. So, the story of all stories is the battle between Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. Near perfect golf played. Even Jack Nicklaus said it was better than the duel in the sun. They played better golf. Joining me right now from points out west, I guess it's Colorado, is the host of Golf Talk America, Mr. Tim Matthews. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Frank. How are you doing? Yes, I am. I'm actually in Telluride, Colorado. Got here yesterday, and we'll be playing a little golf at Telluride Golf Club here in a little bit later this morning. So,
Telluride's a very famous place. Wasn't there a song that had something to do with hiding drugs in Telluride in the old days of Miami Vice? Yeah, there was.
Up until now, all I knew about Telluride being famous was it was one of the hangouts for Butch Cassidy and Sundance back in the day.
Yeah.
They robbed a bank here and they did some other stuff back 100-something years ago. That's all I know. I didn't know about any songs.
Yeah, I think it's Hide 'Em Up and Telluride is part of a song. I can't remember what song it was, but I bet you our producer, Bobby Raymond, would know that. He probably can chime in sometime during the show with that. But anyway, Tim, great to have you. Great to have you via telephone. So what, you're just going to play golf? You went to Colorado just to play golf? Did you take the Golf Talk America jet or what?
I jumped on the Golf Talk America jet. The one prop didn't work, so we kind of had to make an emergency landing, and this is where we ended up. Just little R&R out here. But I'll tell you what, even through my travels, luckily because of our technology today, you know, you can stream things, you can watch. So I got to see in airports and streaming in cars and everything else. I got to see most of the tournament yesterday, and it was compelling. I mean, it was one of the best final rounds I think anybody – matter of fact, they're comparing it to a lot of people are to the final round at Turnberry.
Turnberry,
Watson,
yeah.
And Nicklaus back in '77, that ended up being epic as well. And just two guys who were way ahead of the field, just going in a heavyweight battle, just punch for punch, back and forth. And in that matchup, Watson on the weekend shot 65-65. Nicklaus shoots 65-66, playing with each other, same group, just like Mickelson and Stenson. And Watson wins by one shot. And yesterday, there's no way you could say anything about Phil in a negative way because he did everything he could do. He was pretty much picture perfect, no bogeys, shoots a 65, and even right out of the gate gets the birdie versus the bogey for Stenson, and you're kind of going, oh, here we go. And, boy, I'll tell you, it went back and forth, and to use like basketball vernacular, a lot of lead changes back and forth throughout the entire match, and it was pretty much match play. They knew, I mean, J.B. Holmes finishes way back of the field. He's, what, 14 shots back, as it turned out, finishes it at 6-under. So he's 14 back and Stenson went all over. So they didn't have to look over their shoulder at anybody, look at a leaderboard to see, okay, what else is happening out here, or who else do I have to worry about? Nobody. It was just the guy in front of me or the guy behind me or right next to me. And I'll tell you what, too, Frank, that really hit me, is Stenson's got a pretty stern reputation, right, as being a cold-hearted Swede and doesn't show much emotion, and he's got that piercing look in his eyes when he's trying to really concentrate and rip a drive or a three-wood. But I will say this, that the two of them seemed to really enjoy the moment, which I thought was great and wonderful, that they put their arms around each other, they kind of high-fived each other, they kind of looked at each other after one would make a birdie over the other guy's birdie, and so they really seem to enjoy it. And I think Phil, even although he said, hey, you know, the days are winding down when I can compete for a major, I think he was thrilled that he had this opportunity and played well enough to be able to do it at that point. He's got 11 runner-up now finishes in majors, which is huge. We all know Jack had 19, so he's not setting a record there. But if you're a great golfer, you're always there, and you're going to have runner-up finishes. The only guy who really doesn't have a lot is Tiger. Tiger just had a way of, if he competed, he was going to win.
You know, he won.
If he was close, he was almost always going to win. He didn't have a lot of those heartbreaking, you know, miss a putt on 17 kind of things. But what a matchup. I mean, this is going to go down. We're lucky we watched it, because they compare it to what happened at 77. Something's going to happen in 20 years with Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler or something, and we're going to compare it to the 2016 British Open.
Well, Jack Nicklaus on Twitter said that a lot of people are comparing this, as you said, to the 1977 Turnberry duel in the sun between Nicklaus and Watson. And he said, and we played good, but this was better. They played better. This was historic. So when Nicklaus gives it up, I haven't seen Watson say anything yet. Don't know if he's made a comment yet or not, to be honest. But when Nicklaus says that, come on. I mean, wow. It was. I meant what I said. I sat in my chair glued to the television, actually standing up, high-fiving the TV. I mean, I was going nuts. It was the most exciting golf I have seen in my life, I think. I think that was the most exciting one round of golf I've seen in my life. And the other fact is that Henrik Stenson just posted the lowest aggregate score. Is aggregate the right word? The lowest aggregate score ever posted for a major.
Yes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
264. He shot 264 and finished a 20 under. Also a British Open championship record that beat Tiger. Tiger was 19 under back in 2000. Stenson finishes at 20 under. And Stenson could have gone lower. I mean, Stenson puts up a 63, and let's put that in perspective. Only Johnny Miller had ever shot a 63 in a final round of a major and won. There had been other 63s. As a matter of fact, you only have to go back to Thursday, and Phil put up a 63. So there's been, I believe it's 9 63s in major championship history. Nobody has gotten a 62. We all remember back on Thursday where Phil just lipped out for his 62, and sure enough, Henrik comes back. And that, I'm not saying shooting a 63 in the opening round isn't impressive. It certainly is. But when you can do that in a final round knowing you've got to come up, and you've never won a major before, and you've got to come up and play the best golf of your life against a Hall of Fame golfer who's got majors in the bag and Phil Mickelson, and shoot your 63 then, I think Henrik Stenson can die a happy man now. I don't know what else he can do, even if that's all he ever wins as far as majors go, whatever. That's gonna be one that people are going to be very impressed by. He had 10 birdies, Frank. I mean, the guy had 10 birdies and a couple of bogeys thrown in there. I mean, he could have gone even lower. If that's hard to believe, even opening the first hole. I mean, that's not a tough, tough hole. He shouldn't have bogeyed that one. So it was just an amazing round by Henrik Stenson, first Swedish man to win a major as well. If you want to go back to 77, Jesper Parnevik had the lead going into the final round of the British Open, and that's the year that Justin Leonard came back from, I believe, five back when he was starting the final round, and Justin Leonard won his British Open back in 97. And yes, Parnevik had a chance in that one. He also had another chance in another Open, I think, in 94 as well. Annika Sorensen, obviously, for women, has won 10 majors, I believe, for the women. But the first Swedish guy. So he's a hero back home. That's what's kind of neat, too, right, about the Open Championship. It's obviously an international match. So to see a lesser accomplished, if you will, Henrik Stenson. Although, go back just to 13, Frank. You know, Stenson won FedEx Cup and the Race to Dubai on the European Tour.
Yes, he did.
If you remember that. He had his glamour year and won about $15 million. So he's not that far removed from being an unbelievably great golfer.
But, Tim, that was probably a great, probably one of the greatest comebacks. I'm not going to liken it to Ben Hogan, but Stenson had gone through some very, very bad health problems and then head problems. And I shouldn't say head problems. His game just went away. I mean, and he almost just totally quit the game. And there basically was an intervention of sorts by his friends that went to him and said, no, pal, we're not going to let you wither away. You're going to get back in the game here. And so that was a heck of a comeback on his part. So, and, you know, you talked about his stoic demeanor. Hey, I've been around him enough at tournaments and talked to him several times. He's hilarious. He is very dry-witted, and he's fun to be around. But here's my question about Henrik Stenson. I want you to answer for me, honestly. Does he just like to get naked in public? Remember it to Raul when Fanny was on his bag, and he took his pants off and climbed down into the water hazard to hit a shot. And then she got water bottles from the crowd and was washing his legs off while he's standing there in his underwear on national television. And then yesterday, I don't know if you saw this or not, but he had on several layers. Well, he decided it was time to change. So he just took his shirt, everything off, bare-chested, and put on a new shirt because he had gotten hot. So I'm like, Henrik just likes to take his clothes off in public, I guess. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
We're too puritanical in this country. Those Europeans are so ahead of us. It's like, nothing. We never have clothes on over in Europe anyway.
Now, wait a minute. In the 70s, there was a lot of streaking going on. So, in fact, I believe...
You want to bring that back, Frank? Is that your point?
No, but you know, we're really getting off the rails here. But if you recall, a streaker, wasn't there a streaker at the then called British Open? And wasn't it, Jacobson that tackled him?
I don't know. It seems like it was earlier than that. Wasn't it in the 70s that a guy did that?
It was in the 70s, at the British Open.
I think it was. I don't know who, but I mean, no golfer would tackle a guy, would he? I remember the streak.
He tackled him on the green, tackled a naked man. he did.
I don't remember that.
I can't remember who that was. I want to say
it was Jake. Why would you want to tackle a naked guy who's just running?
I'd run the other way.
But we digress.
Yeah, we really, but we need to get back on track here. I'm sorry to take us way off, but Stenson is just, I'm so happy for him. I really am. And Phil said this probably stings about the most because he said in his post-round interview, which we'll hear later, we have those for our listeners, both those interviews today, he said this stings a lot because I didn't do anything wrong. He just got beaten. The Open Championship was won. It was not lost. It was won. And
I think it's also important to note, too, Frank, that we're talking about two guys that are 40-plus, right at 40 for Stenson, 40 for Mickelson, and yet most people want to talk about what's going on with Rory and Dustin and Jason and Jordan and everybody else that's 20 to early 30s as being, and certainly that is the meat of the PGA Tour, and those are the guys. But here you got, and by the way, those guys all got lapped. I mean, Spieth did not have a good tournament. Jason Day did not have a great tournament. Rory finished okay. You know, shot 67 in his final round, did okay. Spieth shot a 68 in his final round. But they were still so far back that it really wasn't going to matter.
No chance.
And these older guys, the veterans here, Stenson and Mickelson, kind of show these young guys a thing or two. And I think that's kind of important to note that, you know, for a lot of these guys, and that includes Tiger, you know, in the possibility of whenever he comes back, that there's a lot of golf left in good golfers' bodies, even well into their 40s. So that bodes well for the PGA Tour. So all these young guys that we're thinking are kind of right in their prime, well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're going to look prime. Maybe the Jordan Spieth, we hope, and they are going to have 10 more years, 15 more years of playing the way they are. So I think it was kind of interesting that the older guys not only just kind of edged out the young bucks, they waved by to him in the rearview mirror pretty much on Saturday, and all day Sunday they didn't even have to think about it.
It was some compelling golf. It was fun to watch. I spent the entire day, I did nothing. I watched golf all day from the Open Championship straight through to the Barbasol and Opa-locka, Alabama, which we weren't there this year. We were there last year. And the Cinderella story there, if you will, is Aaron Baddeley coming back, winless on the PGA Tour for more than 5 years. He was on an exemption to play in this tournament, and 35-year-old Australian. Closed with a 66 to finish in regulation, tied at 266 with Kim. And Siwoo Kim is his name, and he put on a performance too. He's 1 year off the Web.com Tour in 2015, and it was fun to watch that one. And Baddeley's excitement when he won. He's a father of four, and his wife had a baby on her back in a backpack, a baby on the front standing on 18 green, and two standing at her legs. And she jumped up. I thought she was going to lose the children out of the backpacks when she jumped for joy. But it was just a great weekend of golf. I mean, it was just fabulous. Yeah. And guess what? Guess what's going on this week? I'm going to LA, of course. You're in Colorado. And our buddy Zacchino, who's going to join us on Wednesday on the show, I'll be in LA. You'll be in Colorado. Zacchino will be in Canada. He'll be calling the shots for the RBC Canadian Open. So now we have the Canadian Open. Then we have the PGA Championship. So this is full-time, full-tilt boogie golf, buddy. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. I can't wait.
And that also means we'll be coming to you from three different countries, right? It'll be Zacchino in Canada. I'll be in Colorado, the U.S., and you'll be in the country of Los Angeles.
I'll be in the very foreign country of Los Angeles.
The separate country of Los Angeles.
I'll be coming to you from Malibu Beach. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to visit some friends out there. We've got some business, Golf Talk America business out there, and launching a new segment on the show that we'll just tease that one, but it will be with someone from Los Angeles. Going to be pretty exciting. Going to be with a couple of big stars out there, so it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun week. May even sneak over. It looks like we're going to try to play Riviera. So,
nice.
Fun week.
Hey, here's a fun little fact too that I love all these little facts you find in tournaments. But going back to Spieth, playing a pretty good final round, shot a 68 in his final round, and kind of got at least respectable for his British Open this year, his Open Championship, and at least in his mind, he was too over for the tournament. But again, at least finished fairly decently. He had an eagle on the par 5 fourth hole at Troon, right? So he had an eagle on Sunday. This is really interesting, right? That's only the second eagle that Jordan Spieth has ever had in a major. It's hard to believe that the guy who's done so well in majors and won two
really?
And contention for five of them has only now got two eagles. He had another one back in 14 at the Masters on the par 5 15th hole, but it's only the second eagle. You would think a guy who's that competitive at majors kind of, they give all that glassware at the majors. I mean, I'm sorry, at the Masters, when you have birdies and eagles and different things. So you kind of would have thought he'd have a house full of crystal by now. But only the second eagle he ever had. So, anyway, just an interesting kind of side note. But what is going to be interesting, I know a lot of people are talking about that. Okay, what about Rory and Spieth? And even Day. Jason Day was playing pretty well for a while. Finished yesterday with a 71, shot a 71 on Saturday as well. He finished one over. He was 21 shots out of it, but not even close. And couldn't shoot any, didn't have one round in the 60s at all. His best was Friday's round. He shot a 70 for Jason Day. But the question is, okay, these young guys, can they not keep it together? Can they? And I think a lot of people are concerned about or thinking about Spieth. He seems kind of out of tune. He's not putting together good rounds. He's got a good round and a bad one when it comes to the majors. And I think a lot of that is, A, we got our expectations way too high. Last year, he might have had the best year of his career. It's hard to say. He certainly got a lot to play, and you'd hope that he has a lot more in the tank, and you hope you don't peak at 22. But that was an historic year last year, and in comparison, it'd be hard ever, unless you're Tiger, to do that again. Tiger did it every year, but it's hard to do that again and again. I also think in Spieth's case, and maybe Day and Rory's, a lot comes into this, that there's a lot of expectations. They've all signed big deals with big sponsors. There's money in two of their cases. One's getting married. One's having a family. Spieth isn't. But suddenly life hits you, too. And the one thing I can say about Tiger in comparison to these guys, I think Tiger was conditioned, and maybe, to his detriment, people would say, by his father, that Tiger was conditioned to be exactly what he was when he was 12 and 13 or 14 years old. He was ready. He was on top of it. He was winning junior amateurs. He was winning U.S. amateur. He was ready to go. And I think, again, you saw maybe sometimes the detriment of that later on in his career when things kind of went off the rails because he wasn't prepared for kind of the real world out there. I don't know that anybody else is ever going to, at least the ones we're looking at, be that conditioned, that prepared to be
No, that's that was
kind of
something.
An assassin like Tiger was. You know, these guys have a good time. They enjoy it. There's a lot of pressure with those contracts, and I just don't know that we can expect these guys to win as much as we kind of think. When they're young and winning, they're going to win 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 majors. I don't know. It's, you see what happens. And these majors, these guys in the last, in the U.S. Open in here, they're really not even hanging. You know, I mean, and especially at this Open, at Troon, none of the big three, and throwing Bubba and throwing Ricky if you want to, none of them were a factor pretty much from Thursday afternoon on.
No, they weren't. And I don't know what to say about this. I mean, Tiger Woods, this certainly puts his play in perspective. When you look at, it's harder than ever to win a major today, yet look at the string Tiger put on. I mean, in tournament wins and majors, and it just, wow. I don't think we'll see that again. At least I know in my lifetime I probably won't. I don't think anybody on the stage right now is capable of doing what Tiger did. And I think a lot of it has to do with you know, Tiger was an anomaly, totally. But back to Stenson and Mickelson. I mean, look at Mickelson's longevity. You know, he played through the Tiger Woods years and was successful to some extent through the Tiger Woods years, and still playing against the young guns now and still beating them. So this is just a great time for golf. I know losing Tiger, yes, he did move the needle. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's more compelling now, honestly. Everybody just watched to watch Tiger win, and all you saw was Tiger. Now we get to see other players for a change. We get to see deeper into the field. Of course, yesterday they didn't cut away at all, basically, just very seldom for a second, just to show a shot that was recorded by some of the other players. It was constantly just the two big guys, man, battling it out. It was a heavyweight bout. It was a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight is what it was. It was awesome.
And Phil, you know, has lost 20 pounds from back 10 years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And it shows. So I think his condition, he's not going to be contending any time for, you know, a decathlete award. But, I mean, he's still in better shape and better condition, which is great. You need to do that as you get older. I think Phil is going to be one of those guys that certainly could be a Bernhard Langer type. I expect Phil at a Masters, name any of the majors you want, I think Phil is going to be one of those guys 50-plus that's definitely, and I don't know if he can win one, but I think he's going to do almost like he did this year, 5, 6, 8 years from now. I really do. You look at his swing. He's so good. He's still so limber. He gets that club back. So, I mean, he doesn't, other than a few
way,
different changes
way past
in his putting stroke, he doesn't seem to show much admission that he's getting older. He looks just as fluid and good as he did 15 years ago.
And it's astounding to me because of what physically he's going through with the psoriatic arthritis that he has, and it's in check. I mean, obviously through the proper medication, but he looks fabulous. I mean, he really does. What do you think he's going to do at Baldestrol?
Yeah, I mean, I think I gotta like him. You know, I'm not going to say I have a hard time picking anybody who's older. To win necessary, I think he can contend there. And if everything falls into place for him, he could win. There's so many good golfers, obviously, out there. I think he's going to be right there. I was hoping Dustin Johnson had a better Open. You know, he was red hot.
Nah.
But it just shows you kind of what I was saying before is a lot of the guys today, you know, to contrast Tiger, they're red hot. They're great for 3, 4, 5 tournaments in a row, but not for a whole year. You know, they kind of come up and down. Remember, Tiger would never miss cuts. It's just different today. So I think Phil would do well, but you know, we'll have to look at it at the time. My guess would be that it would be one of the younger guys that we'll see come out of virtually nowhere and do
there
well.
There was an outstanding bet, by the way, between Henrik Stenson and his caddy. It was a long time, 2 or 3 year bet, I believe. That's been hanging out there. And so now, because Henrik won the Open Championship, he finally won a major, his caddy has to quit smoking. That was the bet. And he reminded him of that. He reminded his caddy of that on number 7 yesterday. He said, I win this thing. You know what's going to happen. That's a great bet. So there you go. Yeah, good for him. Good on him.
I'm going to have to say goodbye, and I know you've got, you're going to come back, and you've got people can listen because we've got some great interviews with both Mickelson and Stenson when we come back after the break, right?
Yeah, we do. Have some great fun out in Colorado, play some great golf, and take some pictures, send us some pictures so we can tweet them out to our listeners.
And, okay, we'll do.
And I'll be on a plane the better part of the day today, heading out to La La Land. And so have a great time. And thanks for holding down the fort, as you always do. You do a great job, Tim. Thanks.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon. Tim Matthews, host of Golf Talk America, joining us via phone from Colorado. Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, getting ready to hop on a plane and head to the West Coast. And we'll be reporting from the West Coast on Wednesday of this week while the RBC Canadian Open is going on in Canada. And Mark Zucchino, who is the host of Golf Talk Canada, as well as PGA Tour Play-by-Play, will be joining us on Wednesday to give us a preamble to the RBC Canadian Open. A lot of big tournaments going on right now, and a lot more to come in the next few weeks. Pretty exciting times with Ryder Cup, Olympics, PGA Championship, Canadian Open. I mean, everything. Wow, this is a great time for golf. Can't say enough about it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll peek into the media room and hear from Phil Mickelson as well as Henrik Stenson right after that. So don't go anywhere. This is Golf Talk America, and you're listening to it on PGA Tour Radio. And welcome back, everybody. Golf Talk America, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios this morning. Tim Matthews joined us, of course, in the first segment from Colorado. He's traveling. I'm traveling this week to the West Coast. But we had a great weekend. I mean, I can't say it enough. Some of the most compelling golf I have ever watched in my life was just head-to-head, great play, great strategy. They were in the flow. I don't want to say the zone. They were in the flow, and they were feeding off of each other. Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson, neither would have shot the low scores that they shot if they had not been feeding off of each other and each playing as well as they did. So after that final round 65 against Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson jumped into the media center and had some comments. And let's listen into a little bit of what Phil had to say after his final round in the Open Championship.
Gosh, it's disappointing to come in second, but I'm happy for Henrik. He's really a great champion. We've been friends for some time, and I've always thought that he is one of the best ball strikers in the game, and that major championships are perfectly suited for him. And I knew that he would ultimately come through and win. I'm happy that he did. I'm disappointed that it was at my expense.
Well, Phil, thank you. If you can raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you for questions. Number two at the back, please.
Phil, aside from pure match play events, where does that rank in terms of a one-on-one duel that you've been involved in your career?
I don't remember being in a match like that where we've separated ourselves from the field so by so many strokes. I don't think that's happened that I can remember.
And you talk about the battle between you two and the tension and all of that.
What about it? What do you mean?
In terms of comparisons to other situations you've been involved in.
I don't have any that I think are similar.
Steve, on the left, please.
Is this the best you've ever played and didn't win?
Probably, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably the best I've played and not won. I think that's probably why it's disappointing in that I don't have a point where I can look back and say if I should have done that or had I only done this. I mean, I played a bogey free round of 65. It's on the final round of a major. Usually that's good enough to do it. And I got beat, you know, I got beat by 10 birdies, and it's not like other guys were out there doing the same thing. I mean, it was a challenging day.
Mike at the front, please.
Phil, first of all, thanks very much for fronting up, coming in front of us. We need probably be anywhere but in front of the media. There's been a few guys alluding to the duel in the sun, and I know the sun was probably missing most of the day, but did it feel that magnitude, the sort of head-to-head battle with Henrik?
When we got it going on the front nine, after the first probably six holes. I mean, it was pretty obvious that it was just us. I always thought that there were a couple of guys right behind us that could make a move, you know, and if they got off to a hot start and we were struggling a little bit, it was going to be more than just two people dueling it out. But after six holes, it was pretty obvious it was going to be just us. And it was fun to be part of that challenge. It's just disappointing for me to finish second, but you know, we've got a great champion. I mean, Henrik's a really great champion. I'm happy for him.
I also saw you having a bit of a laugh with Henrik on one of the early homes, which is quite unusual in international sport. Can you share with us what that joke is about?
What did we laugh? I don't remember what we were laughing about, but he, you know, Henrik's got a great sense of humor and he's a good prankster. I mean, he really pulls some good practical jokes and we've had some good laughs over the years. I'm sure it was in reference to something like that, but we've had a good time together.
Next question in the front, please.
I know it's going to sting for a while because of what you said, playing almost perfect round of golf, but after a few days or so, will you be able to take a lot of satisfaction in where your game is, given how disappointed you were at Oakmont?
Yes. I'm very excited with the work that I've put in, with how Andrew Getson has helped me with my golf swing, the way I was able to hit fairways with ease coming down the stretch and hit my iron shots, you know, right on line. Draws and fades and so forth, and basically that comes from getting my swing back on plane. It's been a little work in progress to get it on plane and then capture the feel and the face awareness throughout the golf swing. But 3 out of 4 days this week was pretty stress free golf, and the one day that it was off, it came back the next day and it was back on. So it tells me that we've done some good work. That I'm excited where my game is at, where it's headed, but you know, disappointed that it wasn't enough today.
Mark?
Phil, did you have a number in mind today and to get it done? And if so, what was it? And if you were told this morning over breakfast you'd shoot 65, would you be assuming you'd have the jug again?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I was hopeful that that I could shoot something in the mid-60s. I didn't know if it was possible because there really weren't a lot of low scores. And granted, the weather kind of calmed down there for the back nine. It was a little difficult, I thought, starting out, but the back nine, it really calmed down right as we made the turn, and we were able to make some birdies coming in. But I would have for sure thought that. I actually thought anything in the 60s was going to be a good round today.
Again, in the front, please.
Yeah, just wondering, Phil, if you what your thoughts were as he kept pouring in putts, and if that at all forced you to change your strategy or anything you had to do. Except make more putts.
I really didn't do much different. I was just trying to birdie every hole, and it seemed like he was. So I was just trying to keep pace. I thought that the birdie on 14, when he made birdie on 14, that stung. But the one on 15 was... and then I really thought I made eagle on 16. I thought I'd get one back there. It'd be only one down with two difficult holes to go. And I don't know how that eagle putt missed. I really thought that was going to go in. But seems there have been a couple of putts like that this week that I've made a bunch too, but it seems like a couple of critical ones caught the lips.
Okay, so there you go. That's Phil Mickelson. Stings a little bit, but what do you say when somebody plays as well as Henrik Stenson did? Now, that being said, let's jump to Henrik Stenson and hear a little bit from Henrik Stenson, the 2016 Champion Golfer of the Year.
Hasn't quite sunk in yet, but I'm very happy. Very proud of the way I played, and it was a great match with Phil. It seemed like it was going to be a two-horse race, and it was all the way to the end. I knew he wasn't going to back down at any point, and in a way that makes it easier for myself. I knew I had to keep on pushing, keep on giving myself birdie chances, and he wasn't going to give it to me, so I had to pull away, and just delighted that I managed to do that with a couple of birdies at the right time on the final stretch.
Well, thank you. We'll take questions from the floor, please. John, we'll start with you.
Henrik, after 3 second places and 6 third places in majors, did you ever feel, you know, goodness, is it ever going to be my turn?
I felt like this was going to be my turn.
Really?
It's not something you want to run around and shout, but I felt like this was going to be my turn. I knew I was going to have to battle back if it wasn't, but I think that was the extra self-belief that made me go all the way this week.
Next question, Jim in the middle, please.
Henrik, I think in many ways we were reminded that was almost like a heavyweight boxing match between two big men. Is that what you... Is that...
Did anyone hear those cameras there? Gee.
Is that what you felt yourself, and do you feel quite drained after that?
Right now I'm running on adrenaline, but it will be some point when I'll struggle to make it up the stairs when I get back to the house, I'm sure. But, yeah, it certainly was. We managed to pull away from the rest of the field, and we both played some great golf. Makes it even more special to beat a competitor like Phil. He's been one of the best to play the game, and certainly in the last 20 years. So to come out on top after such a fight with him over these 4 days, it makes it even more special.
Martin in the back.
Henrik, I'm sure you feel that adding the Scottish Open back to your schedule paid off.
Here we go again. All right, I'll play the Scottish Open next year. Yes, I will.
It was a good decision, though, wasn't it, really?
Scheduling is always hard. I knew I had to do something to get prepared for the Open Championship, and the last couple of years going early... practicing a little bit hasn't quite done it, so I went back to the formula I did for 2013, and from here on it'd be kind of stupid not to keep that one going, I think.
Ewan on the right hand side, please.
Well done. You obviously dedicated that to Mike outside. Can you just explain to us who he was and what he meant to you and what the significance
was? Yeah, he was one of the real good guys back in Dubai. I've known him for many years, and he was a very keen golfer and a great man. I had news on Tuesday that it was... I mean, he's been battling cancer for a long time, but I had news on Tuesday that the end was near, and unfortunately passed away on Wednesday morning over in the US. So he's always been there as a big supporter of mine. And in good days and bad days, he's always sent me messages and been out at some events. So this one's dedicated to him for sure. I felt like he was there with me this week.
Alistair at the front, please.
Can you give us a sense of how aggravating it was to be continually asked, when will a Swedish man win a major, and how does it feel to have been the first one after all the great Swedish players have been? Forsbrand, Selberg, Parnevik.
Yeah. We had it back, I think, when Porter won a Canusti, when we're going to have a European major winner, and then he managed to do that, and then there's always another question. But... it's been there a long time. I feel very privileged to be the one to hold this trophy. There's been many great players from my country tried in past years and decades, and it's been a couple of really close calls, Jesper in particular, twice. So I even had he sent me a message, go out and finish what I didn't manage to finish, and I'm really proud to have done that, and it's going to be massive for golf in Sweden. With this win.
Number four at the right hand side there, please.
And it was annoying, yes.
Henrik, you speak of your commitment this week and your belief that it was going to happen this week. Why? Why were you so strongly feeling it?
I think the win in Germany, last 15, 18 months, I had a lot of great opportunities to win. A few of them I didn't finish the job the way I wanted, and on a few of them it was a couple of youngsters from America did some good stuff and denied me the wins, in particular in 15. The win in Germany at the BMW International Open a couple of weeks ago was huge, to get one over the finish line, and you feel the pressure coming in, and with not having won for a while, that always kind of builds up, and it was great to get that win there. That was definitely a help this week, and I felt that extra confidence was going to be huge for me coming into this week, and I just played some great golf, and yeah, for some reason I felt like this is my time, and it was.
Well, there you go. You can't say enough about Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. Their candor, they're two gentlemen, two fabulous golfers, hugged, arm in arm, walking off of 18, and find sportsmanship-like manner. That's what this game's all about, folks. It's sportsmanship. It's a gentleman's game. It's still a gentleman's game. And both of these men proved it in their actions, their play, and their comments after their rounds. Congratulations, Henrik Stenson. We love you, brother. You're a great player, and you are the comeback kid. I'll tell you, everything you've been through, it's all worth it because this is fabulous. Great family man, and great champion golfer of the year. That'll do it for Golf Talk America today, this episode, whatever we want to call it. But on Wednesday of this week, I'll be back in Los Angeles studio. Tim will be in Colorado. That's right, Colorado. Bobby Raymond, our producer, will be in Nashville holding down the fort. And so that's it. That's the show. Join us Wednesday, please. 1 o'clock on Wednesday, PGAtour.com, Golf Talk America. Have a great week, everybody.